You're listening to the Audacious Church podcast, recorded live at our Manchester campus. For more information, visit audaciouschurch.com.
We're in our series called Open Skies. See, God has designed us to live our lives big. Let me try that again. God has designed you to live your life big. He's not designed you to live your life limited or small. He's not designed you to live your life so that you get squeezed into other people's molds. He's designed you to live a big life. A big life that impacts, that transforms, that makes a difference, that makes a mark on the lives of other people. That's who you are. That's what you were designed for, and that's what you're called to do. The journey of life is finding out how to do it, and how to do it well. And that's what we're talking about, open skies. A little while ago, I was preaching in our Geneva campus. Pastor Glenn and I were supposed to go together. He wasn't well at the last minute. And so I'm there preaching. And then the next day, I had a series of meetings on the Swiss-Italy border. It sounds glamorous. It wasn't. As soon as the service finished, the friends that I was going with said, hey, we need to jump in the car now because we've got to drive from here in Geneva to the border at Italy. We need to get there this evening. I said, okay, great. It's about 4:30 in the afternoon. We kind of jump into the car. And you know what you do when you get in the car, someone else is driving and you're on a journey you don't know well? You try and find the sat-nav, right? Because you're trying to work out, how far is this? And how long is it gonna take? So I look across at the sat nav and it says 560 kilometers. I think that's a long way. But I know this guy who's driving. We're in a nice car. He's gonna do 200 kilometers an hour on the motorway. We're gonna be there in under 3 hours. And then I look at the time, 6 hours, 50 minutes. And I think to myself, something's not right here. 200 kilometers an hour for 550 kilometers is not gonna equal 6 hours and 50 minutes. After about 25, 30 minutes of me puzzling my way through this, I said, excuse me, I keep looking at the numbers and they don't add up. I'm trying to work out what is it that's gone wrong here and what is it? He says, you haven't factored in the mountains. Oh. Because if you're trying to get over the Swiss Alps, you can't do that at 200 kilometers an hour. You've got to slow right down. So I said, this really is about to take us 7 hours. He said, yep, it really is. He says, but the views are incredible. Half an hour later, it had gone dark. For the next 6 hours, I had the amazing view of tarmac just sat there in front of me. We're working our way, we get through Switzerland, we're going up into the mountains, we get to a place called Davos. And when we get to Davos, we really start, it's all switchbacks, it's all 30 kilometers an hour. He's driving like a madman. I have motion sickness. I tell him, slow down or I redecorate the interior of the car. Just take it a little bit easy. We get to top of Davos, right onto the pass, right at the top. And he says, we're gonna stop here. There is nothing there. We get out of the car and I am stood there looking around. There's nothing. You can't see anything. It is it's now 12:30 at night. It's utterly pitch black. And he says, you're looking the wrong way, look up. And as I leaned back onto the car so I could look up fully, suddenly, I'm not just seeing stars, I'm not just seeing constellations, you can see galaxies. You can see the formation of incredible things in the sky. And I'm stood there, it's about -2, I'm wearing a t-shirt and jeans and I'm looking at this and I am mesmerized by it. We live our lives with the pollution of culture, the pollution of society. We live our lives with the pollution of opinion, the pollution of what other people has done and how they have lived. And in the same way that I had to get above every bit of light pollution that was stopping me seeing the greatness and the glory, that was stopping me seeing the majesty, the beauty and the splendor. We have got to shift our position in faith to not see what everybody else is seeing, to not live how everybody else is living, to not let the world decide who we are and how we should act. We have got to get above the pollution of all this stuff, and we have got to lift up our eyes. And we have got to see the greatness of who God is and what God can do. Too long, we have let other people's opinions and others' interpretation and culture pollute our view of who God is and what God can do. We've got to get above it. We have got to look up to the open skies and see who God is and what he's doing. Genesis chapter 15 reads like this. The word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. Abram said, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus? Abram said, you have given me no children. So a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him. Listen, that's what we need. You want a breakthrough in your life? You want a financial shift that's going to change everything? You want provision to come into your life in a way that it's never come into your life before? You don't need a better job or a better pay packet. You don't need to start your own business in order to do that. That's not what the Bible teaches us. The Bible teaches us that what we need is we need to hear the word of the Lord. Let me try that again because we're a Bible-believing church. If you ever find us teaching something that's not in the Bible, feel free to find another church. We are a Bible-believing church. I'm going to teach Bible this morning, and I'm going to teach that God wants you to prosper. He wants an overflow in your lives. He wants finance coming in so that you can be generous with it going out. He wants to release you so that you can see the goodness of God in every part of your life. And provision is not just money, it's health. It's also in your marriage. It's also in your business. It's in your relationship. And God wants to bring a breakthrough that shifts all of this stuff and doesn't allow you to live small. He wants you to be the most generous person that people have ever met. And you say, I don't have the income for that. No, but you have the God for that. You might say, what I bring in doesn't equate to what goes out. That's fine. God is in the business of taking our 90% and making it do what 100% could never do when we submit a tithe to him and let him lead us in that way. I'm not there yet, but let me get back to this passage. Then the word of the Lord came to him. Let's believe this morning the word of the Lord is going to drop into our hearts and change our lives. This man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir. And he took him outside. You got to get outside of other people's opinions of the situation you are in. And you got to hear what is the Lord saying. If the Lord's taking you outside, he's going to show you something you've never seen so you can live in a way you've never lived. So get ready. He said, look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. God doesn't want to provide a little bit. He wants to provide in such a way that it's an abundance and an overflow that leaves you shocked by his capacity. And then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. And Abraham believed the Lord. He credited it to him as righteousness. Let me talk to you about faith for a moment. Faith is not just about what you believe in your head or believe in your heart. Faith is about what you do with what you believe in your head and believe in your heart. If there's not an action attached to faith, you can't show me your faith. We show one another the faith that we have by the actions that we do. So my demonstration to you that God is my provider begins with me saying this, I choose to tithe. And I choose to tithe every month. In fact, that's not true. I don't choose to tithe every month. I made a decision to tithe, and it will be a choice to stop tithing. Because I'm just going to live in the action of the decision. And I'm not going to allow my circumstance to dictate my faith. My faith is going to live above my circumstance. Abram makes a choice. I'm going to live and believe it. I want us this morning to realize this. God is wanting to change our thinking on his capacity to provide. Our response has got to be in how we handle our money. Because we can't call him provider and then manage the budget out of our insecurity and safety. If we're going to declare he's provider, we manage the budget out of his position of our provision. You've still got to manage the budget. But it begins with, God, my first 10% is yours. Because what happened? The music stopped right at that moment, didn't it, eh? And they've left me to it. The first 10%. Malachi chapter 3 tells us this. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And God says, test me in this. I mean, what a position. God says, test me. Come on. Find out if I can provide. Come on, test me. Test me. My son is now 23. He's 6'3". He still thinks, well, he's got this idea that if we wrestle, he could win. He's so wrong. And every now and again, he'll get a little bit like this, and I'll go. And he realizes once again, he tested me. And he found himself wanting. God comes to us, and he says, when it comes to my ability to provide for you, the way you test me is by putting yourself in a position where I need to provide for you. By tithing and by generosity above tithing. Let me come back to that. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 to 10 reads like this. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. Just let's talk about the tense of one word. What God has prepared. Has prepared. Not what God will prepare. Not what God might prepare. Not what God is considering preparing if you do the right things. But what God has prepared. God has already prepared everything you need for life and godliness. He's already prepared everything you need for every step of the journey, for every moment in your life. Our response has got to be our followership of him, because as we follow him, we step into the things that he has prepared for us. When we don't meet God's preparation, it's not because God's preparation's not there, it's because our followership wasn't where it should have been. We've got to shift ourselves to follow him. He has prepared. If you're asking the question, the classic question, what came first, the chicken or the egg? Let me guarantee you from Genesis chapter 2 that it was the chicken. Because it says that Adam named the animals. If God had just put a lot of eggs in front of Adam, he would have just been going, egg, egg. Egg, oh, that's another egg. Oh, look, another egg, slightly different shape. The chicken came first. I'm glad we've wrapped that up. But what came first, God's generosity or yours? And we've got to go back to the same passage. Because in the same passage that Adam names the animals, we realize that God has put Adam in a garden and given him everything he needs in that garden for life. Everything he needs to flourish, everything he needs to do well. It is the whole of creation there. In fact, God has given him perfection and they still manage to get it wrong. Listen, God is not looking for perfection from you in how you live your life financially. He's not measuring you on every step of the way to see if you gave everything, did everything, measured everything the same way. If you've been a place where you've not been tithing and you've not been giving, can I say this to you now? There is no shame on you for that. God is not in the business of shaming his children. In fact, when Adam and Eve were found in the garden, God knew they'd sinned. They knew they'd sinned. They knew God knew they'd sinned. God doesn't go and blame them. He talks through the issue and then he does this. God sacrifices an animal so that blood is spilled to cover the sin so they can be in his presence. And then he uses the fur of the animal to cover up their shame. God takes care of us. In fact, God so takes care of us that when we lean back in the Bible, because the Bible, though there's a chronology to it, there is so much crossing backwards and forwards that we need to see to understand it. When we go to Revelation 13, we learn something about Genesis chapter 1. Because in Revelation 13, it says this, there was a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Wait. In heaven, there is a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So when the foundations are put in the world, before humanity even exists, God has provided for the fact that humanity will sin. He's covered up already every sin of every person, every failure that is to come. He's covered up thousands and thousands of years of billions of people getting things wrong because he loved us so much, he created us knowing the cost of Jesus that we could be with him. God provides first. He provided a covering for our sin before we were even created. Before even the idea of sin was on the earth, he had provided a way. God provides. If we go to one of the most famous passages in the Bible, you hear it if you take, as ministers, we take funerals, and sometimes you take funerals of people who don't know Jesus. And generally speaking, this is one of those passages they ask for. Psalm 23. It opens up with these phrases. Let me read it to you from four different versions. The New International says this, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing." Listen, don't rush through the passage. Pause in the moment. "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing." That is a statement of faith. That if he is my shepherd, I lack nothing. New Revised Standard says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." That speaks to a future moment. There will not be a point where I will be wanting and in need. The Lord is my shepherd. New American Standard says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I will not be in need." That there is nothing that you will need that God doesn't have the ability to provide and hasn't already gone ahead and provided. The Message says this, "God, my shepherd, I don't need a thing." Listen, God is in the business of making sure everything you need, he has gone ahead and prepared it for you. The issue is not his provision. The issue is our followership. The next part of all of those versions of Psalm 23 talks about this. He leads me. He leads me. He leads me. If I'm going to walk into all the provision that God has for me in my life, if you're going to walk into everything God has for you in your life, we've got to be led by him. And we've got to follow the lead that he brings. That's why we go back to Malachi chapter 3. Bring the whole tithe. You ever stayed at an Airbnb? Anybody? Just across the room. Just give me, wave hands. Just, audience participation. Thank you. Fabulous. And usually there's either a really small room or a cupboard or, a locked thing in the kitchen that you can't get into when you go to an Airbnb because the owner has got something in it. There's something in that cupboard or that room. And everything in you wants to know what's in that room. It don't matter how big it is, how small, and you find it, and there's a padlock, and you think to yourself, maybe I'm not going to get a memory. No. It's not our space to get into. We were staying in one in Spain a couple of years ago, Julie and I, and it had a cupboard. And then the owner phoned up and said, I'm really, really sorry. Can I pop into 5 minutes? I've got to get something out of the safe. So, yep, no problem. Put the phone down, went looking for the safe. Now I know it's there. I want to know where it is. So I found it cunningly hidden behind some books. And I'm looking at this safe. And I have no skills in my past to get me into that safe. I haven't got a backstory that's got that. And I'm looking at that and I'm thinking, I just put the books back. And she came in and she said, I've just go to the safe. I said, yeah, just through there. You've got the whole house, except for that room, except for that cupboard, except for that space. And when you're there, you can enjoy the whole house, except for that one bit, which is the owner's. The owner is giving you the whole of it, except for this one piece. That's what the tithe's like. It's all yours, except for this one piece, 10%. In order for you to live in the whole, that 10% can't be yours. If you don't want to live in the whole, then you got to go and buy the whole thing. But God will give you the whole thing, but he wants you to give him back 10%. So when we understand that 10% actually releases the whole to us, it shifts our mentality. It releases more than we could get if we did it ourselves. Than if we managed it ourselves or managed it better ourselves. God releases more in doing that. And the more you think about that idea, the more you realize that God said to Adam, Adam, the whole garden is yours, except for this one tree. And Adam somehow ends up at the tree. How is it that we get attracted to doing what it is God doesn't ask us to, we get attracted to doing what God asks us not to do. He asks us to give him the tithe and we think to ourselves, I'm going to withhold that because I think I can manage this better than you, Lord. And he says, no, put your faith in me. Do you trust me that I am going ahead and providing for you? You see, God is already moving provision into your future for the day that you will need it. He's already shaping the future because he's seen it and lives there. He can work it now. It's all the way through the Bible. You hit moments like this, that David, when he flees Saul, finds himself at the only place where the sword of Goliath happened to be. Coincidence? No. Somehow this sword has made a journey from a battlefield all the way to this worship space. And in that worship space, it's hidden in that place. Why? Because God knew that one day David would flee from Saul and would need the weapon that would help him to win the throne. David meets that. The moment where the disciples come to Jesus and they've been fishing all night, they meet Jesus on the shore and he says to them, you know it, throw your nets out on the other side and there's a massive haul of fish. Those fish were there because God had orchestrated it that the fish would be there at the right moment, at the right time. The whole of the night, God had the fish well away from the boat. So that the moment came when the boat pulled in, in the shallows, in the daylight, at the wrong time, in the wrong place, because God's not limited by the way circumstances work. He's not limited by what culture thinks or what normal practice is. He breaks through those things. So in the wrong place, at the wrong time, doing the wrong, Jesus, throw your nets out the other side. It's a small boat. It's not like, it's no cruise liner, this. It's less than the width of this stage. And the fish, so many that it nearly broke the nets, happened to be only on one side. God can provide miraculously, incredibly, beyond what you ask, think, or imagine. When Abraham climbs the mountain with his son Isaac, and they get to that point, and he's about to put the dagger in, and the angel calls, and suddenly he turns around, and there is a ram caught in a thicket. I mean, come on. If you're Abraham, you're looking for every sign you can on the way up. How did you miss that one, Abraham? Well, it's easy. God had this ram just waiting out of the way, wandering, until suddenly the ram has this incredible idea. I'm going to get stuck. And throws itself into a thicket bush and can't get out. Why? Because God's provision had gone ahead of Abraham, so that when the moment came when he needed it, when the breakthrough had to happen, God had shown up. The quail in the wilderness, Moses got somewhere between 1 and 2 million people, and enough quail turns up out of nowhere to feed them all and just lands on the ground. I mean, they reckon it was up to 3 feet thick of quail. I mean, listen, God doesn't do magic, right? So God didn't go, and a ram was in the thicket. God didn't go, and quail, and suddenly they came out of nowhere. God had held them somehow, so that when the moment came that the people complained, and let's talk about that, because sometimes when you're in a place of needing provision, your complaint is actually your prayer. You just haven't worded it like a prayer. Sometimes I've found God answered my complaints in remarkable ways, because I went, Lord, I am so fed up of this or that, or if this doesn't change, I don't know what we're going to do or how we're going to get through this. And God says, it's all right, I already had a plan. You just got to take the next step. And when you take the next step, you find yourself stepping from lack into plenty. That step behind me was lack, this step was plenty. What was the difference? I followed him. I was stuck in a place of lack and I was struggling with it. And he said, this is the way, walk in it. And I went, oh, wow, okay, everything we need is now here. What changed and happened there? I just followed him. Because when I follow him, it lets him fulfill his promise. Part of the time we don't see the promise of God fulfilled in our lives because we don't follow him closely. You can be as close to Jesus as you want to be. I can be as close as I want to be, but it's about me choosing to do it. The title this morning, as I said to you, is Look Up. The camels are coming, so let's get to the camels. Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 to 6 says this, Arise and shine, your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, thick darkness is over the peoples, but the Lord rises upon you. His glory appears over you. It's never what we do, it's what he does. We live in the reflection of his greatness and his glory, and as we follow him, we get to live in the light of that. It's an incredible thing. Nations will come to your light and kings to the brightness of your dawn. And then it says our words, lift up your eyes and look about you. All assemble and come to you, your sons from afar, your daughters are carried on the hip. Then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy. The wealth on the seas will be brought to you. To you, the riches of the nations will come. Herds of camels will cover your land. Young camels of Midian and Ephah and all from Sheba will come, bearing gold and incense and proclaiming the praise of the Lord. They are in a place of need. And God says, don't worry, follow me. Because everything they need is about to arrive. The remarkable thing is this, it was moving before they needed it. You see, God has seen what it is you're going to need. Therefore, He has prepared the very thing you're going to need. He's seen the job you're going to need. And He's prepared a way for you to get to the job you're going to need. That you think there's an application and an interview, but actually there's just a followership. That as I follow Him, He opens the door to get me to the place to Him to provide in a way that I've never seen Him provide before. God has been moving, and some of you, you've said, Lord, I want to meet someone, and God has been moving someone from city to city or town to town or country to country, and suddenly you meet them and you say, isn't it amazing that we met? No, it's the provision of God. He knew about who you needed. He knew about who they needed. He knew you and He were in different places. And what He's done is He's been working all things together for good so that at an appointed moment, at the point where you felt, man, I really need to meet someone, He goes, here they are. Because He's been working all this stuff so the moment of provision comes. The camels are already coming. God is already moving. He is not waiting for you to pray because He knows the prayer you'll pray one day, and the prayer you pray one day will open up the moment that's coming after. We've got to believe that He has gone ahead of us and He's opening it. Psalm 121 says this, I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? Why does He make that statement? Because the top of the hills were covered with idols, with Asherah poles. It was where people went to worship other gods. And so when He says, I lift up my eyes to the hills, where does my help come from? Because that's where everybody else's help come from. I'm looking past the hill. The hill is the limit of what humanity can provide. It's the limit of what a job can do, of what your business can do. It's the limit of medicine. It's the limit of your own organization. But I'm looking beyond the hill, because above the hill is the sky, and in the sky is the limitless glory and beauty and majesty and breakthrough of God. It's when we look beyond all of that that suddenly we see if God can do all of that, He can do all of this. If God can break that and the glory that comes with it, He can do that. Stop looking to the world's systems for the way to get the breakthrough in your life. Stop allowing the world's thinking to do it. And let the book, let the word of God break into your life and realize He's already provided for you. He's already got your breakthrough lined up. He's got provision, money, job, business ahead of you in your life. All you got to do is go, what's the next step? I'm going to follow you. I'm going to bring my tithe. I'm going to be generous with my offering. I'm going to demonstrate my faith by what I do. And then it says this. It says, then. It's a beautiful phrase, then. Because that means everything changed. Then you will look. Your heart will throb. The wealth on the seas will be brought. The riches of the nations will come. Herds of camels will cover the land. Six wills are spoken over our lives. God declaring His promise, it will happen. It will happen. It will happen. It will. Do you trust me? It will happen. Do you trust me? I will bring a breakthrough. Do you trust me? I will provide. Do you trust me? The job will come. The money will flow. The breakthrough will happen. Do you trust me to follow me in the midst of it? Julie and I were in a difficult season of our lives financially, and we felt the Lord say something to us that made absolutely no sense practically, but was faith. We said, the Lord said this to us, double tithe for a season. I said, no, Lord, you don't understand. We need more money, not less money. He said, no, you need more breakthrough. You don't need more money, you need breakthrough. Money's temporary, breakthrough's permanent. Breakthrough changes everything. You know, TV shows like The Voice or, you know, Britain's Got Talent, which is a dubious title for some of the things you watch on there. They give people a break. God gives people a breakthrough. A break is a one-off opportunity for God to do something. That's why when you say I tithed and it didn't work, what you actually mean is I tipped God, he didn't tip me back, therefore I've stopped doing it. A breakthrough means this: I've understood something in my spirit and in my heart and in my head, and I believe that God will provide supernaturally when I live a life of tithing and generosity. So we felt the Lord say to us, double tithe. So in a season when neither of us, no, I didn't have a permanent job, Julie had a part-time job, the kids were small, the Lord said to us, double tithe. So we did. And everything changed. Finances started flowing through in a way that was absolutely ridiculous. It was debt that we had accumulated trying to work out how to get out of our situation was wiped out in moments because God just went, no, I already had all this for you. I just needed you to step into what I had for you in faith. I didn't need you to live where you were trying to work it out. I needed you to live in the place of faith where you follow me in doing what I asked you to do. So we stepped into that, everything shifted, everything changed. Let me talk about my camels. Because when you understand the camels, you understand the power of what God's doing. Herds of camels will cover your land, young camels of Midian and Ephah, and all from Sheba will come, bearing golden incense and proclaiming the praise of the Lord. Ah, the camels. There's not many mentions of camels in the Bible. It kind of come and go at different points. Usually, though, it talks about provision. Jacob goes, his servant goes to water the camels, and suddenly the woman who turns up to help him water the camels becomes the wife of his son, and God provides in a remarkable way. But it's God's son and the camels that are really important for us to understand right now. That when Jesus is born, somewhere just around the birth of Jesus, a bunch of wise men somewhere in the Middle East around Babylon way start a journey over the Fertile Crescent back down and into Israel. A journey of one year to 18 months. So that at just the right time, they would appear where Jesus, Mary and Joseph were with gold, frankincense and myrrh that would sustain them as they made the journey to Egypt to escape from the danger that they were in. God moved a bunch of wise men 18 months ahead of time to provide for Jesus. God is moving things ahead of time to provide for you. He is bringing breakthrough that you have yet to see. We have just got to walk into it. It says this, all from Sheba will come. Sheba, the Queen of Sheba, is the famous person that it's referring to, and history has struggled to find the Queen of Sheba. They can't pinpoint the place, they can't pinpoint the person. There's no city and line that they can say it was here. The best they can say, it's somewhere in an area called the Empty Quarter. And I love it. I love that God is not limited by the full. But that out of what everybody else calls empty, he can bring provision that changes everything. It's called creation out of nothing. The theological phrase is creator ex nihilo. And that's how God made the world. You see, there are times when he works and he moves in circumstance. There's times where he just goes, I'm changing everything in this moment. I sat talking to family this week and the story went like this. The wife said to the husband, hey, she phoned him up. She was at work. He was at work. She phoned him up. She says, hey, I'm done. I need a holiday. And so he said what every husband would say. Yes, dear. Absolutely. We do. That'd be great. He put the phone down and he said to me, we had no money for a holiday. There's no way we can book a holiday. It can't happen. 45 minutes later, his phone rings. And a friend that he's not talked to for a decade says to him, I've been meaning to call you for 2 weeks. The Lord told me to give you X thousand pounds for you to go on holiday. Is that okay? Listen, why didn't he call 2 weeks earlier? That would have been great. Because God wanted to teach this family that when they call to him, he answers. That what didn't sound like a prayer I need holiday was actually a cry from heart to heart. And God hears the cries of our hearts and moves and is moved when our cry is articulated. I think that's why Jesus says, therefore I tell you, do not worry. Like if he's got it all, if we trust that he's got it all, that he's ahead of us, that he's working, he's planning. Matthew chapter 6 makes a lot more sense. He tells us not to worry about pretty much everything. What you eat, you drink, your body, what you wear. Life, don't worry about it. And he says, when we do worry about it, he says, calls us this, you of little faith. Worry and faith can't coexist. We've got to put our faith in him. And then he says this, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. God is a loving father who wants to give to you the provision you need for the life that he has called you to. He asks us to give our tithe back to him and to be generous with others as an act of faith to demonstrate his goodness, his promise, and his provision in our lives. We need to shift our faith to live out that life so that it impacts not just our lives with his provision, but the lives of so many others as well. Can I pray for you? My time is gone. If you're here and you're saying, I need a breakthrough in provision in my life. I need God to shift something so that everything changes and becomes different. That there is a flow of finance, that there is a flow of joy, that there is a flow of his presence and breakthrough. Then I'd love you just to put up a hand and I'm going to pray for you. That's you in the room, you're saying, I need a breakthrough in this area. Like, I don't want to live the way I've been living. I don't want to live with the limitations I've been living with. I'm believing for that. Just put your hand up real quick. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to pray right now. Father, I pray that as we act in faith, doing the things you've told us to do, that you will release into each and every life your breakthrough, your finance, your provision, that shifts our lives from where we have been living, making it work, to in a space where we can lift up our eyes, we see the open skies of your goodness and greatness, and we live in that freedom in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Audacious Church podcast. For more information, visit audaciouschurch.com.